1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Many years ago, as I read this particular chapter, the first three, four verses just really, really jumped out at me as a preacher of the Word of God. And I think if you, as we read this together, you'll see what I mean. I then went to the front of my Bible that I had at that time, and I put my goal down, and then I wrote 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5, I believe, on that particular Bible. It's interesting because the particular Bible I have at this time, I wrote a different set of verses down. And what's interesting is how they relate so well to this. I'll read those. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, it says, "Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up." So as we study here in 1 Corinthians, we're looking at some people who are divided. And Paul is writing to them, and seriously, he's trying to tell them, you need to get your act together, you need to be united one with another, and you need to realize that it's not about personalities, it's about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we come here to chapter number 2, he begins and he says here, "And I, brethren," now it's interesting, as we read this chapter, he says, "And I, brethren," verse number 1, "I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Let's have a word of prayer. And then we will begin in these verses and I trust go farther as well. Father, tonight, thank you for the precious Word of God. Lord, help us to understand how wonderful it is, how deeply important it is in our lives. Father, let us not ever view it as just another book or just some words, but the holy writ of God. May we understand that it's powerful, that it is life-giving, that these words from the mouth of God have the same significance and force as those words that you pronounced in creation and all things came forth. Lord, we pray that you might work in our hearts tonight and bless, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thus far, we have seen the sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ for our lives. Verses 1 through 9 of chapter 1 are very important in that. We've also been briefed on the problem that's facing these Corinthians peoples, and that is there's contentions among the brethren, and it's over personalities. And so it's this bunch of folks and another bunch of folks, and one saying, "Well, we're this," and the other saying, "We're this one," and they're following those leaders and not really following Christ. Though there is one group that thinks they're more spiritual than the other, to say that we are. But Paul, in relaying this to these folks, are saying, "Listen, you are not going in the right direction." We saw then last week that the message, the truth of God's Word, is that which separates men and should unite Christians. And we looked at that quite a bit as we looked in those verses in the latter part of that chapter. It is this truth that draws us to the crucified Christ and then ought to draw us to each other. So when Paul begins in chapter number 2 and verse 1, and allow me to read that again, "I, brethren," of course, that word ends, it ties to the previous chapter. "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with what? Excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. He's saying here basically this, the method of delivery, though it may tingle the ear, is secondary to the message. It's not the oratory that we ought to be captivated by, but we ought to be realizing it's the truth that is presented in the message. In God's estimation, if I understand this and other scripture, it's not the style of preaching that's important, but the message itself. Every person is different. If you tell a story and I tell a story, it's probably going to be, even though it might be the same story, it's going to sound different. You'll use different words. If you tell the same story, you'll use different words, and maybe your emotions will be different than hers or mine. I seriously doubt that any two of us are going to convey it in the same manner. And everybody's different. And I've heard preachers that are very flamboyant. I mean, when it comes to the King's English, they have a flow of words that's just astounding. The vocabulary is just terrific. A lot of folks sit there and wonder, where's my dictionary? Because they don't understand all the words. But they have a tremendous ability to do that. Brother Al Wells was I love to listen to Al Wells preach, because one of the things he did was, like the Lord, he told stories. Now, he told stories different than any man I've ever known. And it wasn't the methodology that was important. It was the truth of the message that he was trying to get across that was important. And you can have all the stories in the world. You can have all the illustrations of the world. You can do all sorts of things. But if you're not given the message, then you're not doing the right thing. That's the important part. And so Paul is coming to us, and he's basically, as he's writing to these people, he's saying, listen, when I came to you, it wasn't with all of that. I've heard most preachers get in the pulpit and they say that Paul was the greatest preacher that ever lived. He may well have been. But if most of us would have heard him, we might have disagreed with that statement. Paul is telling us, hey, my speech was not really that great of a thing. Matter of fact, Apollos was known as the orator. And so Paul comes and he says, listen, it wasn't the speech. He says, the thing is, I gave you the testimony of God. Now notice what he said in verse number 2. He says, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He made a commitment to the message that Jesus saves. That's most important. It's the message that's going to change people's lives. And so he made that commitment. He says, I determined that. Listen, all study is good, but one of the things we need to realize and understand, that which pertains to the knowledge of Jesus Christ Himself, that is foremost. Paul, on another occasion to Philippians, he wrote that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, be made conformable even unto His death. Now think about that for a moment. Paul says, with everything I know, one thing I want, and I may know Him. I want to have that understanding. And he says, this is what I determined, not to know anything else, but that I wanted to know Him, and I want you to know Him. And notice verse number 3 and verse number 4. Paul says, when I came to you, he says, I was with you in what? Weakness and in fear and in much trembling. How many of you guys have had speech class? Adults had speech class? How many walked into? Have any of you guys had speech class or have it right now? Have you had it yet? Speech class. It permeated fear in my soul. How many walked into speech class and said, oh yeah, this is a piece of cake? You would. There's a few folks like you, but I'm not one of them, okay? And you that way? You know, I walked in a speech class and we'd have to have a speech on a certain topic that day, and everybody's supposed to be ready to give their speech. And I'd walk in, and one of the things I was always thankful for is my name started with an S and they went in alphabetical order a lot. And they'd start with the A's and the B's and the C's. And I'd be sitting there, I hope I don't have to today. And class would get over and I'd think, why was I hoping that? I could have had this thing over with. Now I've got to come back next class and go through all this agony again. And I could have came to the next class and just sat there and relaxed. Why? Because I came with much fear and trembling. My very first sermon I ever preached, before I got to the platform, before I got on the behind the pulpit, I went to the bathroom and threw up twice. I was pumping so much acid. I don't mean I threw up twice while I was in the bathroom. I went back to the bathroom twice. Much fear and trembling. I understand what Paul's saying here. And he said, I was weak. And he says, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. But here's what he does say. But in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. In the human sense, Paul really didn't have a whole lot. All that he had to come from God. In other words, Paul's saying, I had to have the Spirit of God fill me and do that work through me. Spirit-filled preaching, by the way, is seen when we have a reliance upon God, realizing His Word is the authority. I used to, for a number of years, I'd come and I'd stand in the pulpit and I heard men, you ought to preach with authority. And I'd stand up here and preach and I'd think, who am I? And preach with Spirit-filled power. And I think, where's it at? I don't have this feeling inside. There must be some kind of feeling. And one day, Docket, I realized what it was talking about. It's realization, the Word of God changes lives, and I have this in my hands, and when I give it, that is God about to do something in life. And it's not about whether I can deliver it properly, I ought to do my best, but it's about God taking His Word and doing what He wants done. That's the authority. Jesus preached with authority. What's the authority? Realizing what it is. It's the Word of God. And what a tremendous thing. So he had reliance upon the Word of God. You don't have to get people to see that it's true. You don't have to have some kind of tremendous argument. You just need to preach His truth. I mentioned this last week, but I was so thrilled as I got to thinking about it. Ken Ham and this Bill Nye, the science guy, they had the debate on evolution. The portion I saw, I didn't see a whole lot of it. I think it went on for about 2.5-3 hours. I saw maybe 15 minutes. But the part I saw was Ken Ham saying basically this: I believe the Word of God. And I look at all of creation from that viewpoint. I take the same facts, Bill Nye, that you have, but I see them differently because I look at them through the Word of God. What's he doing? He's saying basically, this is my authority. And that's where he stood. And I thought to myself, wow. And while he stood there, I heard him do it. He gave the presentation of the gospel in a very simple and a very clear manner. All of those who were watching that, however they were, I think it was an internet thing, they got a clear presentation. All the evolutionists that turn in to hear Bill Nye just crucify him heard a presentation of the gospel. And that was the approach he took in it, I think, throughout most of his presentation. I've heard him speak on a number of occasions, and that's the way he always does it. And I thought, well, praise the Lord. Here's the difference, by the way, between Jesus and the scribes. The Bible says that he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. What is it? He believed that the Word of God was quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And so as I can come and just have this Word of God, I can share its words to you, preach from it, knowing that it is the power of God and His salvation, that is what God wants me to do. He goes in verse number 5 and says that your faith should not stand the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's where faith begins at. Too many times we make our own converts by having all of our own little thingies, you know, through our own wisdom and so forth. Well, let's go on. Verse number 6, he says, howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the glory of or the Lord of glory. Suffice it to say, there is wisdom with God that's not known among common man. And it's this wisdom of God that we ought to be longing for. This wisdom can only begin as we have a fear of God. What's it say in the book of Proverbs? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy is understanding. You can say what you want to. Bill Nye, the science guy, might be well educated, but he doesn't have any wisdom. And the PhD on his name just simply means piled higher and deeper. But no wisdom. You see, wisdom is the ability to take the facts and make wise decisions based upon those facts. And when you do not have a biblical view of things, you cannot make a wise decision. For all decisions outside of God will ultimately end up in death and hell. Destruction. That's where they head for. And so we have this wisdom of God that can only come from God. And by the way, as we desire it. Listen to what James said. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, it shall be given him. You know when most people pray that are students? Right before a test. Oh God, help me remember. No, they don't say help me remember what I learned. Help me to know what I never learned. Bring a miracle about. Every morning in this room, I pray with our students and I ask God to bless them in their testing and help them to recall the things they have learned. But we can pray and ask God for wisdom. I remember, this is an interesting story for you. I remember, oh, it's probably been 20 years ago. I don't know. And I happened to be in a learning center, and this young lady was having a real problem with, I believe it was math. Most of our problems with math, right? And some with English. Anyways, she was having a problem with her math. She just couldn't get it, couldn't understand it. And I explained it to her, and she'd get it, you'd walk away, and then it was gone. And she says, what do I do? I had this big revelation. Hey, why don't you pray and ask God? He says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Why don't you ask God to help you to understand this? And every time you pick this up, I mean, you pray and ask God to help you. It wasn't 20, 30 minutes later, and I see her flag up. We use flags, and if the flag's up, it means, hey, they want you. I went over, and she says to me, it works. She said, I asked God to help me to understand this. And I do. She got excited. Yeah. I put it in this room. Do you believe God knows where everything's at? Isn't that amazing? Have you ever lost anything?
Yeah.
Oh man, I lose stuff. You lost the remote? And God knows where it is?
On the couch.
Yeah, that's where they always are. You ever lose stuff? Kind of? How do you kind of lose it? I've had stuff, I've looked, I couldn't find it. You ever had anything like that? Your phone? Look, where is this thing at? They have a new app now, or it comes with a lot of the new phones. It says, Find My Phone. It's for people like you. If you haven't now. All right. Anyways, I'm not sure how it works. I've lost the instructions. Anyway, you have something that's lost, and you can't find it. You know what I learned, Doc? It hit me one day. I'm looking. I've looked in every place 4 and 5 times. I've gone back, and it's not there. It's like, you know, somehow you think it's going to appear. It's like a kid, you know, he opens the refrigerator, knows what's in there, and he shuts it, and he opens it again, thinking something else is going to appear, and it doesn't. Anyway, I couldn't find it. And I finally said to the Lord, it hit me, God, do you know where it is? You've said in your Bible that you know where the number of every hair on my head. There's some people that's not a big problem because there's not much up there, but some that's a lot of problem. Amen. And He knows every hair. He knows when a sparrow falls out of a tree. And I said, God, you know where it is. Would you show me? I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, God dropped a big billboard out of the sky and had an arrow on it pointing right to it. Well, sort of like that. I don't even know the circumstances. I will tell you this, within 5 minutes I had it. Very seldom has it ever gone past 5 minutes. Now, maybe God doesn't want me to ever find it. That would be His business. And here, 3 or 4 weeks ago, it was 10-15 minutes. I'd even forgot I'd prayed, and I still hadn't found it. And I thought, well, maybe God doesn't want me to have it. And I don't know, I'm just doing something nonchalantly, and there it is. It even takes me a little bit to realize, hey, God did that. You know what I mean, Rosie? Are you kind of slow to catch on? God does something for you sometimes. And God did that. Listen, God wants to do those things. God wants to give us wisdom. If we want it. If we want it. One of the biggest jobs of a teacher is to try to inspire or get their students to desire it. Well, I'll tell you, when somebody in the congregation gets turned on about the things of God and says, man, I want to learn this, I want to learn that, wow. That's exciting. Bobby came to me today. By the way, that was a blessing to me today, Bobby. She came to me and says, you know, I don't know, last year, year before, or something. She says, I read my Bible through so I could say I did, but I'm reading this thing through now because I'm learning stuff and I'm liking this. And she was telling me something that she'd learned in the book of Ezekiel. You're not supposed to read the book of Ezekiel. That's hard to understand. No. God says all of it. Amen. And I thought, wow, that was neat. I appreciate that. She was reading about them bones, them dry bones. And I figured she's going to start walking around singing that song, but she didn't. Did you know that song? Oh, that's where that came from. Did you know that? Okay. Alrighty. Anyway, God wants us to have wisdom, and it's there available for us. Now, notice verse 9 down through verse 16. This is a tremendous portion. It's worthy of a sermon all of itself, probably a whole series, tell you the truth. It says, as is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Listen, He's writing to a group of people. They're at odds with each other. They're in factions. And God's saying, hey, you need to all get together and get excited about Me. I have not seen, ear heard, neither entered in the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them to love Him. You can't even imagine what heaven's like. Sometimes folks say to me, well, is this going to be heaven? I don't know. I don't know. And we just can't imagine. And if we try to compare it with earthly things, I think we're probably off base a little bit. He goes on, verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. You know what he's trying to teach us? He's trying to teach us now in this section, it's through the Spirit of God that we learn about God. God uses men, but it's God who does the work. Instead of getting excited about men, get excited about God who's revealing stuff to us. Where did I stop at? Verse number 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Have you ever wondered, how's this person? Boy, they took this scripture and they put it together, this scripture, and wow, the truth that was there. That's the Spirit of God who teaches us that. It's amazing. But the natural man, that's a lost man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. A person's lost, it doesn't mean anything. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. When you and I allow the Spirit of God to be our teacher, we begin to have the mind of Christ. Paul said to the Philippians, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And he was talking primarily there about the humble mind, which is allowing God to teach us. There's so many wonderful things to learn. I am 67 years old. I have, I don't know how many years of formal education, classes, and all kinds of things I've taken through the years. But I'll tell you, every day is an exciting day because there's something new that's out there that you can learn. And it's just, it blows my mind. It's amazing. I mean, you learn from the Word of God. God can give you things and you can learn stuff from that. Wow. We've been doing something in school. I've been amazed at our kids. Every day one of our kids gives a speech. We don't have a time limit on. We don't have a topic that they have to do. It's just something they pick out. And today one of them had a speech on raccoons. Who was that? Stephen had a speech on raccoons. And he gets done. He makes a spiritual application. What was it? I don't even remember. He did something. I don't remember. But he made an application of it. And I thought, wow, that's pretty neat. And it's amazing to me that young folks and old alike can take so many things and gain from it. It's an exciting world that we live in. And you know what happens? Too many people get involved in this. Numb. And I'm not saying, you know, well, some of those might be wrong. But you know what? Games are okay. But man, there is so much out there that's exciting. And it's wondrous and it's wonderful. And God has it for us. By the way, that can be used as a tool to find those things. It's called Google. But it's a tremendous tool that's available. And the research that can be done using some of these things. I mean, it's mind-boggling today what we can do if we allow that. What's the key? You got to want it. What's your worst subject? Math? You know how to change that? This is what I told another student one time. You know what you can do? Now, you don't want to do this. I know you won't want to do this. But you say, dear Lord, help me like math. I mean, that just sounds like, ooh. Help me like spinach. Why would I want to like spinach? But seriously, that is something God wants us to do, is to have a desire for all that He has there. And allow the Spirit of God to teach us from all of these things. I mean, it's amazing. It is amazing. I've lost the guy's name. He came to the realization that there are rivers in the ocean. There are current patterns in the ocean. They didn't know that. Do you know how he figured that out? From the book of Job in the Bible. Because he says there he is. And so he began to explore those and map them out. Isn't that amazing? Christopher Columbus didn't know that he was going to bump into the Americas. He thought the world was a sphere because he read in the book of Isaiah that very thing, talking about the circle of the earth. That word circle there is not a round two-dimensional circle. It's a sphere, a ball. He learned that from there. Wow. There is so much that's available to us. There are people right now drilling for oil in Israel because of some remarks in the Word of God. They believe there's some big reserves there. Interesting. Perhaps the largest the world has ever known. Amazing. If you and I will just allow God to teach us, using His Word and all the stuff He has out there. Father, tonight, thank You. Lord, help us to realize it's not about us and our little schisms and our little cliques and groups, but God, it's about You. And the things that are available to us, the wisdom, the knowledge that we can have, the understanding can be ours. Lord, I pray that we'd be just open to it, allowing You to teach us day after day. God, I pray You'll give us a quest, a desire to gain and to learn at Your feet. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.